Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 20th of April, recording at 9:17 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a word of caution. I'm not sure either of us can survive this audio, not because of the markets, but because there's a lot of banging and scraping and grinding going on and moving of furniture, because what I had not expected today is that the carpet replacement people are in the office. It was supposed to be next week, but at any rate, that's what we've got. We have a little lull in that activity in the moment. So I'm not sure how long this audio will be, but bear with me and I'll get moved quickly as I can. First, a quick look at the review of the week. We had mostly ranging here in stock markets. And China was a steadier one, the China A shares, as it has been all week and for the last 3 weeks or so. And we had, for instance, and today, just to round it out, Asia was mostly firm. Europe, for a change, had a bit of a bounce in here today. Wall Street mixed, with the NASDAQ down, and weighing on the S&P was a decline in the Apple share price. I think it's down to about 573 in after hours. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices are a little bit easier across the boards. The U.S. dollar is also a little bit easier. It's had very much a ranging week. Just about everything has, and that includes precious metals. The precious metals today, well, silver at 31.72, gold at 16.42, so not much going on here. Palladium a little bit better. The industrial metals were firmer here today. Crude also a little bit firmer, 103 on the WTI. And the Brent, up to 118.86. So it's they've steadied following a fairly significant decline overall. Grains and beans have lost downside momentum, and soybeans, which had been strong before the last shakeout, was up today. Okay, so where are we going and what's taking place here overall? Well, China accepted. This is very much a reaction and consolidation phase for most of these stock markets. I should also add that the ASEAN markets have been very strong within this phase. Now, given the, as I've said in all these audios, given the strength of the recovery, which started in October of last year, and then particularly the strength in the first 3 months of the year, we really should expect this corrective phase, or I expect this corrective phase, to last for at least a number of weeks and possibly several months. I do think, though, that it is no more than a corrective phase, so I don't expect to see anything like bear market percentages of 20% or more for the S&P and other U.S. indices such as we saw last year. And I do feel that before year end, we will have seen a resumption of the cyclical bull, which we have been forecasting. And the reasons for that is that valuations are reasonable enough. And that includes dividends, and I am so pleased to see the dividend fashion return in the last couple of years, and I think that will continue for quite a long time. Now, fashion for increasing dividends, I should say. Now, also, monetary policy is generally favorable. Yes, the QE in the U.S. and the U.K. is winding down, well, at least temporarily, and they hope for longer as they wait to see what happens with economic activity. But interest rates, short-term interest rates, will stay near these rock-bottom lows. But meanwhile, Japan is, if we can believe the BOJ, and there are always some doubts about that, is going to be serious in its effort to, well, in its inflation targeting effort of 1%. And so it'll be pumping in money. And the growth economies are easing monetary policy on a gradual basis. So that's a big contribution, and I think that will help growth to pick up, not in the short term, but in the medium term. In the short term, we're still feeling the effects of that headwind from strong oil prices, which rallied up to the levels that we saw this time last year, and that we know that affected GDP figures around the globe, and it's likely to do so again this time, although possibly less so. Then there's the European situation, which remains serious, although it has been at least contained, whereas last August, September, October, a majority of people, so many people, were talking at least about a breakup of the euro. And not so many Europeans, of course, but other observers were talking about that. And we were having perpetual crisis meetings practically every day in Euroland. And a lot of people were very pessimistic and very frightened and saying that this was going to be worse than 2008. Well, fortunately, that was incorrect, and Fuller Money never bought into that line. But we were relieved to see the ECB step in as lender of last resort and at least calm the situation. The problems are all still there. They're going to be with us for years. And the Eurozone is back in center stage, on center stage, in terms of global concerns. So we have oil, less of a worry, but it had already done because price has eased somewhat, but still a bit of a headwind, and it has also certainly contributed to some slowing of economic activity. And then we have those feelings of deja vu all over again, to quote the famous Yogi Berra, regarding the Euroland region, which will make people just cautious enough to add a little bit to that slowing growth. And we have pretty much a recession across the boards within the European region, or if not recession, very, very slow growth overall. So that's the overall background, and there's plenty to be concerned about, but I feel as an investor, probably the most important thing to be focused on is the monetary policy decisions, and that really remains quite favorable. Indeed, one of the reasons why it is so favorable, the only reason why it is so extremely favorable, is because we do have those problems in the Eurozone, and we have seen oil slow GDP growth generally. So you can never have it all, or if you do, it's not going to last for very long. And my overall attitude, I'm inclined to ride out in terms of my own long-term portfolio, which I don't change all that often. I'm inclined to ride it out because I'm reasonably satisfied with what I have. But as I say, don't be surprised if we get some further weakness in here over the next few weeks. And I hope no subscriber sends me an email in 3 months from now if we are, say, 5% lower or more across the boards and says, "Well, should I sell now?" The time to sell is after you've had a terrific run and markets are overextended relative to the rising 200-day moving averages. I've often mentioned that point. The time not to sell is when people are beginning to capitulate because their nerves are frayed. Now I can hear that machine turn on down at the other end of a reasonably large office. I hope it doesn't disturb you too much as I carry on here. Long-dated government bond prices will take their cue from the stock market action plus the central bank activity, which is still supportive. I feel that over the longer term, that yields can only rise because they are at historically low levels, certainly in the Western economies. But they can stay low for a very long time. Not as long as Japan, I don't think, because I don't think we're getting a replay of anything like Japan in the United States and probably the UK. We have more deflationary pressures in Europe. If there's going to be another Japan-type situation, it's more likely to be there than elsewhere. But if that were to go on for a very long period of time, unquestionably, in my opinion, we would have some countries leaving the Eurozone. That'll probably happen anyway. So again, it would change the outlook. Japan really is the outlier in my opinion, and we're not likely to see that for a developed economy in terms of 20 years and counting of considerable underperformance. But Japan looks interesting to me today. Certainly, if they succeed or persist with first and then succeed with their inflation targeting efforts. But what I like most of all, as you probably know, is the autonomy group, and they get the best of both worlds. They are benefiting from the monetary policy, and they're also able to develop and sell where the growth is strongest. They have brand power. They have their sector leaders. They've got great balance sheets. And a number of them are dividend aristocrats, and so I do like that. I think as China improves, if I'm right in saying that China is improving and going to continue to improve, then that will breathe new life into some of the cyclicals, such as the mining sector. We're already beginning to see that. And the demand for overall infrastructure development at times is so strong that the miners become less cyclical and more like growth shares, and they've got great reserve assets. So I like them, and I think they're very cheap at today's valuations. Now, what about the US dollar? Well, I think it's probably going to range. I don't think we'll see enough of a sell-off to cause it to be widely regarded as a safe haven in this environment. And I'm hoping that we don't get too much high-frequency trading pressure in here, adding to the volatility. We always get some. I attribute some of the persistent strength of the stock markets on the way up to create a melt up, as I'd referred to it, and it was predictable with the help of if that's the right word, help of the HFT firms. And I certainly think that therefore there is a risk that we do get some sharp down days and volatility, but I don't think it'll be anything like last year because I think the risks are lower than they proved to be last year. Now, what about the overall outlook for precious metals here? And I think this is probably a support building phase. They tend to be moving more with stock markets or behaving more like risk assets than safe havens in this environment. That can change, but that's what we see overall right now. And I maintain that we are in the middle of this lengthy corrective cycle, or near the middle of this lengthy corrective cycle that we had seen If you look at long-term charts of gold in the library, you'll notice that when it had prior upward accelerations, that it then had these long-ranging phases for approximately 18 months. And I think we're right in the middle, as I say, of another one of those following that upward acceleration that we saw into August and September. But if we are near the middle of that process, then we should see a higher low established around current levels in the not too distant future. You'd know that a higher low had been established if you saw a decent rally up off that low. And I would expect a ranging upward bias, if I'm going to be right on this outlook, which is that sort of around the end of this year, or more likely in some point in 2013, we see gold resuming its overall upward trend. Now, if that is going to take place, you'll see plenty of advance warning. Because it won't take off from a low price like a shot, in my opinion. Instead, we'll see this gradual ranging progression of higher reaction lows on the charts, establishing a shorter-term upward trend within the what I think will be a resumption of the overall secular. Upward trend. So, what else to mention here? Grains and beans and most of the other agricultural commodities, it's in the hands of the weather gods. They've played havoc with growing conditions during recent years, but unless those are permanent changes, it would not be unreasonable to hope for a slightly better overall outlook. And have I left anything of real consequence out? I don't think so. I'll wrap this up before the noise starts again by just saying expect more of the same in terms of ranging, but more likely than not with a downward bias. As I say, the S&P has been reasonably steady in here this week, but it has lost upside momentum overall, and it's not a type of pattern that I think that can support new highs anytime soon. I think we're more likely to get some additional weakness, and Apple will be a contributing factor as it continues its mean reversion process. Many of the autonomies are experiencing those mean reversions towards their rising 200-day moving averages. They got pretty overextended, not none other no, or none to the extent of Apple, but they got overextended given that very strong first quarter to the year. So as they pull back, then things will be looking more interesting for that sector, and that will create more buying opportunities. Okay, I gather that all chaos is about to break loose in terms of the carpet development, so I'm going to bring this to a close. Have a great weekend.